The scripture for today, its message is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Senior Pastor will deliver the third session of the message entitled Deficiency of the Body.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending a service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GSN viewing audiences, this is the third session on the deficiencies of the body. You can become more of a perfect child of God when you realize your deficiencies and correct them promptly. Then your faith can grow up quickly and you can go into spirit and Holy Spirit more quickly. Deficiency of the body refers to the state where you lack the basic mental or physical ability, or the state where you have significantly different emotions than other people, because you have not gone through the process that you should have gone through in the steps of seeing, feeling, and acting. In other words, you develop deficiencies of the body because you lack the knowledge you gain from seeing, hearing, and learning, or feelings, experiences, or actual process of doing things. According to the different steps of growth where you develop deficiencies, you might have deficiency in knowledge, in emotions, or in your behaviors and actions. But not going through the steps that you have to go through in your growth does not only mean skipping that particular step entirely. You might develop deficiencies when you do not go through those steps normally. We can go into spirit and Holy Spirit quickly when we find them one by one and cast them away. Suppose you're a man of spirit, and if you suppose you spit on the street, especially some sputum, how can we say you're a man of spirit? Even by the worldly standard, it is not proper manners. It's not proper etiquette. So there are so many things of this kind. Today, I will give you some specific examples of the situations that develop into deficiencies of body. If you are raised in warm family with proper education, you can learn the social skills and the ways to share love with each other. But for those children who have not felt love at home, or have not received a proper education, it is likely that they will develop deficiencies. But even though they received good education from the parents, sometimes they might not have felt love at home because their parents are too strict. So they don't feel any love. They are educated, disciplined very well, but they haven't felt enough love at home. So as parents, you should discipline your children as well as you love them. So this is the responsibility of the parents. You know, the parents, they want to dictate their children as they like, as they want their children to do whatever they want, the parents want. At a very young age, until they are maybe 10 years, maybe they can do that. But after they grow up, these, you know, even the children, they have their free will. They want their own things. So they don't want to be, they don't want to follow everything their parents say. But the parents, they just want their children to follow whatever they say, but it's not so with the children. So they the children may develop some kind of grumbles. And because they're disciplined too strictly, they cannot express it, but in their heart, they're suffering. Also the parents, they, with their experiences and everything, they think they should raise their children in a certain way. And they want their children to become something they want. But that's not really going to happen. Also, the parents, they have their own motives, their own desires that they want about their children. But the children, they don't want that. They might have a hard time establishing friendships with others and sharing love with others. In their life and faith, they cannot really feel the love of God the Father. So their spiritual growth is slow because they cannot understand God's heart. Even if they hear that God is love, they can't really feel it. They don't feel it in their heart. So this kind of deficiency is something significant. Of course, God is love, and you have to feel that love. We know and understand that God is love. So we have to feel this love, but we can't really feel it in our heart. And because they don't have that love in their heart, they can't give any love to others. So this is something of a great deficiency. On the other hand, if you love your children and care for them too much, these children will also have deficiencies of the body. A Korean saying goes, the grandson will pull out the beard of the grandfather if the grandfather loves the grandson too much. Suppose you buy all the toys and clothes they want, or when they have difficulty doing something, you do the difficult tasks for them. Oh, you can just go out and play with your friends. I'll do your homework. Some mothers, they love their children too much, and they help them with their homeworks, and sometimes virtually they just do the homework for their children. So it causes their children to have deficiencies of the body. You accept all their ill-mannered behaviors, and you never punish them for their wrongdoings. So that way, they become spoiled children, and they may also do a lot of bad things, and even though they do something wrong, they don't even know that they have done something wrong. So that is also a deficiency of the body. In the 80s, right after the opening of the church, there was such a child. She was such a spoiled and child. At that time, we didn't have these pews. It was just the floor. And he was running around the sanctuary everywhere. And the parents would tell him not to, but he wouldn't listen. Even the church members would tell him, but he would not listen. He would rather try to hit them. There was such a child. So the only person who could control him was Pastor Hyun-Gwon Ju. So if he scolded him, and the parents didn't like it. The parents, they were like, they were almost protesting. Why would you scold my child? So that child was object of criticism, and he was disturbing all the church members in the worship service, but the parents loved him. And he grew up as such a spoiled child. It was such a great deficiency of the body. And you don't punish your children for their wrongdoings. Such children will become selfish. They won't have consideration for others, and they will not be able to yield to or serve others. In their school life or social life, for minor reasons, they miss their classes or work. Those who miss their classes or come, those who are late to their work, they always have excuses, so they can't never correct themselves. They have to feel that they've done something wrong and they have to determine not to do that again, but they give excuses. And such people cannot correct their behaviors. If they have a difficult task, rather than trying to solve it themselves, they just rely on others or give up easily. They just want to do what they are interested in, what they enjoy, and what is easy for them. This is the characteristic of lazy people, those who seek their own benefit. They, of course, whatever they like, they want to do. Everybody wants to do whatever they like. Everybody wants to do what is easy for them. So all these things, they are deficiencies of the body. If you have that kind of characters, tendencies, you have to correct them. If they have to control their desires, they find it extremely difficult. If they grow up like that, they can't control themselves if they have to control their desires. So they don't have this self-control. Such persons, when they come into faith, find it difficult to practice the truth and continue without changing. In trials, they easily get discouraged, and they cannot control their desires to take flesh. As a result, if somebody tries to correct them, and they cannot accept it, so they first cry. They burst into tears. They have to accept it and say amen. And they might shed tears of thanks, but if they receive any criticism or reprimand, they burst into tears because they are they're heartbroken. They can't accept it. So there are different kinds of tears. Sometimes some tears are out of anger or disappointment or happiness or joy. Joy of tears of thanks. So there are many kinds of tears. Even if they lead a diligent Christian life, casting away evil from their heart, they are not considerate of others, and they cannot accept and embrace others with love and virtuous generosity. Because they only received love and considered only themselves or their family members, the size of their heart is limited. So if you, that's why I'm telling you to cast off this fleshly affection among your family members, because your faith has grown up. Many of you are standing on the rock of faith. So I can just say this. Otherwise, you'd misunderstand. Oh, thinking like, how can I not love my husband and wife? Husband or wife, how can I not love my children? But you have to understand the spiritual meaning. But with the fleshly faith, faith in fleshly state, you might not be able to understand when I say you have to break down fleshly love. When you break down this fleshly love, you can embrace and love many more people, your neighbors and everybody else. So if you have fleshly love, you have to love only your husband or wife or just your children. This is such a limited love. So you have to break this down so you can love everybody, so many people can be accepted and embraced in you. So when I said this, somebody said, between mother and daughter, they said, as a senior pastor says, we should not love so much in a fleshly way. That is not in a bad sense, but that is not that they misunderstand the truth, but they understand the truth and they just were smiling, you know, with each other. Of course, they love, the mother loves the daughter and the daughter loves the mother, but they love each other so much. But if they are too much into each other, you know, they might not be able to love other people. So they have to love other mothers, other grandmothers, not just your own daughter, but you should be able to love other daughters of other people too. And if you just feel like only your daughter is so pretty and your daughter is lovely, and you feel like only your daughter is so good, while other, you know, when you see your daughter dancing or singing on the altar, you don't think others are good, but only your daughter is good. That is limited love. This way they lack love and generosity, and it hinders them from going into spirit. Brothers and sisters, I explained that you develop deficiencies of the body to the extent that you lack appropriate feelings and deeds necessary at each step. But you cannot justify the fact that you did not go into spirit just because you are not raised in good environments, thinking that is why I couldn't go into spirit. You must not give up thinking it's impossible. You have to find a way to make it possible. If you understand the causes of your deficiencies formed by your circumstances, you can more easily realize the causes of different problems. You can think through the processes through which they were made. In doing so, you can overcome them with the power of the Lord and go into spirit. We don't have many students here in this service, but sometimes the students might blame their circumstances. If you're thinking you didn't learn so much and you developed the deficiencies of the body because of your circumstances, you shouldn't put the blame on your parents or the environment, but you have to put the blame on yourself. Let me give you an example. When I see your families, you're not as poor as I used to be when I was young. To tell you a little bit about my past life, before the opening of the church, I was, we had just a one bedroom rented house. Such a small house. We didn't even have a kitchen. Just a one bedroom. And it was not a heated floor. It was just a wooden floor. So the cold air would come up from the below. And in such a small room, five of us were sleeping. So wherever I would go, I used to have a small place for prayers. So I had a little space for myself before I got a separate room for myself after I received the calling to become a servant of God. So in that room, it was such a small house, and I would sleep in the prayer space. And we put a lot of newspapers on the wall, so the sound would not go outside, and there was no ventilation, and it was a really dark room, but I was still so happy praying in that room, in that little space. And also the my wife and three daughters, they were sleeping in the other side of the room. And they would have the blankets folded up, and they didn't have any closet, any drawers. So they would just fold their clothes and put them. We didn't have any washing machine or refrigerator or anything like that. Of course, not many people had those things at that time, because it was in the 70s, before 70s and before the opening of the church in 82. Maybe some rich families, they had rich people, they had washing machines, but everybody was doing the hand wash. But anyway, We didn't have any drawers, any other furniture, but in such a small one-bedroom house, the four of them were living, and I would spend live in this little space for prayer. And my three daughters, they couldn't wear good clothes or any good shoes or any good bags. They couldn't afford to decorate themselves. And they wouldn't be able to wear any makeup. Of course, they're little children. But nevertheless, we were so happy. We were living in heaven. And the children, they never complained of anything. They never asked to buy anything for them, even in their middle schools and high schools. They never asked us to buy anything because they knew the situations. They never complained about anything. They were never disappointed or heartbroken about it. The reason is, for example, Pastor Su Jin Lee, she is the last of the three. But why was she so happy? Because she didn't have any selfish desires or any envy or jealousy. She was growing up, even standing on the rock of faith since her birth. So she wouldn't want anything that other people had. Or she wouldn't envy other people. She didn't want to have any other things that the other people had since childhood. She wouldn't hate anybody, so. No envy or jealousy, so she was on the rock of faith from since her birth. So even though she was in such a difficult situation, she wouldn't feel that she was in a difficult situation. Other children, they were wearing good clothes, good shoes, but she couldn't feel that because she didn't have any selfish desires. She was always happy and satisfied, content with whatever she had. So she never broke our hearts, the hearts of the parents. Of course, the parents, as parents, it could have been better if we could have supplied her with better things, but she didn't feel any grumbles. She wouldn't have any grumbles in her heart. You know, if you begin to complain, there is no end to it. So in the special Daniel prayer meeting, the Crystal Singers and Sound of Light, they did a skit. And I was thinking where did they get all the ideas from? And I asked the members of Crystal Singers and Son of Light Chorus, and where do you get all these ideas to make such a skit? And Pastor Su Jin Lee coached them. And you could have realized a lot of things watching it, whether you're flesh or spirit. In the same situation, and they use beautiful words, but with the same words, the fleshly people, they use it in an evil way. So the peace is broken and they have conflicts. Even with the same words, the men of spirit, use them beautifully. So even the bad situations, it becomes happy. So if all the family members have that kind of heart, they'll be just so happy all the time. But the family of flesh, even though there are so many good things, they are not happy. If they are not satisfied, even if they are satisfied, it is only momentary because their feelings change all the time. And if they accept what other people say in a bad way, they have hard feelings and they have misunderstandings and criticism and misunderstandings, passing judgment, condemnation, and envy and jealousy, they can't be happy. So even in the same situations and same, even though they speak the same words, you saw the differences between men of flesh and men of spirit. So you must be understanding that your family is a fleshly family. You are a man of flesh. Or your family is a spiritual family and you are a man of spirit. Even though you are not so rich, you could have seen for yourself. So it all depends on you now, according to whether you see and hear and act in goodness, everything will change. So you'll be so happy if you go into spirit. You don't have to struggle again. You don't have any struggle within yourself or with others, and you'll be just so happy all the time. For your information, let me give you some guidelines for parents who are raising their children. It is beneficial not only for your children, but also for your sanctification, if you check whether you're causing your children to develop deficiencies of the body. Even though you don't have children, you can apply this to think about how you treat other people. First, when children hit their friends, speak foul language, or do something wrong, what do the parents do? The parents or the teachers must first understand the standpoint and the heart of the children as to why they did such things. Then you have to talk to them like, you hit him because he made you angry. I can see your frustration, but your friend must be hurting too. In such a situation, you shouldn't hit him, but talk to him and tell him not to do that so that God can also be pleased with you. The point is, you have to let them realize their fault themselves. You have to let them realize that they did something wrong. But if the parents are evil, they wouldn't do that. They would say, speak to them like, why did you hit him? Oh, you did well. If somebody hits you, you hit them back twice. Some parents teach them like that. So if children are raised from such parents, they will be so evil. They wouldn't know what goodness is. But some parents scold and admonish their children out of their own anger and frustration. When the children commit minor wrongdoings, there are parents who easily say, if you do that, you will go to hell. God will hate you. To express her anger, a mother might have turned her face away and wouldn't talk with the children and ignore them. They treat their children with frustration and bad tempers, but they don't realize their evilness because they think they are only trying to correct their children's wrong behavior. They have to let the children feel the love of God and give them the desire and willingness to do better. But instead, if they make them feel that God is a fearful God and God who forsakes them, then the children will end up departing from God. These children, they don't really understand anything. But if you teach them like that, as the God of fearful God, then they will hate God and they will dislike God. They will fear God in a bad way. They'll be afraid of God and they'll finally depart from God. You have to let them feel the love of God and give them the proper instructions. But some people, they just easily say, you will go to hell if you do that. But of course, you must never recklessly carelessly say the word hell. So you have to plant God as a good God, God of love. You know, you shouldn't make them afraid of God. But in some cases, you have to teach them what is proper, the fear of hell. Then what would be that case? As I always explain, if that sin is the sin leading to death, about such sins, you cannot be mild about it. You can't be gentle about it. Because if they commit such sins, they will fall into hell definitely, so you can't be gentle about such sins. You'll have to teach them properly that if you commit such sins, you will go to hell. So they can turn from sins, and you can prevent them from committing such sins. You cannot say, you shouldn't say they will go to hell if they commit sins. That will not lead to hell. Suppose they hit their friends. If you say you'll go to hell if you hit your friends, that is a lie, because just by hitting your friends once, twice, you will not end up in hell. You can let them repent, and they will turn from sins. So when it is not sin leading to death, you shouldn't recklessly say the word hell. And when they commit sins leading to hell, you have to teach them properly that it is a sin leading to hell. So you shouldn't just unconditionally say those words like hell to make them fear, be afraid of God. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." If the parents do not understand their heart, but threaten and condemn them, what would the children feel? If they do anything wrong, they would first shrink and try to hide their fault and give excuses even by telling a lie. Because they're so afraid, they would, if they did something wrong, they will obviously be afraid. They will get beaten or they will get scolded, so they will try to hide it. Anyway, they will develop defiant hearts to keep from getting hurt. They don't learn the ways to understand others' standpoints, but the ways to condemn others. If the parents compare them with children of their neighbors, it means the parents are planting the sense of inferiority and jealousy in their children's heart. The parents make their children envy the children of the neighbors. So you have to give them proper allegories or examples or parables. The Bible gives us a proper parables. It's not you shouldn't let them have a sense of inferiority, you know, by giving them wrong examples, by giving them wrong comparisons. When the children do not meet the parents' expectations, if the parents say, "I knew you'd make this mistake again," that's what you usually do, then it means that the parents are planting the feelings of being disheartened. Then the children become persons who easily give up and get discouraged, thinking, "I can only do this much. Even my mom doesn't trust me, and who can?" Also, sometimes the parents often tell trivial lies to their children. Some parents do that often. How about you? Don't you think it's you? Or is some other deacons or some of your neighbors? Don't you think this way? Or do you think it's you? Oh, I have to realize myself, and I should keep this in mind and correct it. When the children want to follow the parents outside, the parents send the children to get their shoes because they are coming. So the parents send the children to get their shoes. Then they just leave the house while the children are gone. It is cheating your children. Or they say, "I will buy you some presents if you wait at home and behave yourself." But later, they don't buy anything for them. And usually, the parents, they consider their promises with their children very light. oh, if you behave yourself, we'll have a picnic on Saturday. Or we'll dine out on Saturday. When the Saturday comes, you say, oh, I have such an important business meeting and I have to attend to it. And let's postpone it. And this is a lie. They just speak so many lies to their children, empty promises. They just think the children will easily forget because they are children. But this is certainly a lie. And the children, in fact, remember those promises very clearly. So at first, they receive great shock from their parents. If the parents often tell lies, the children will also tell lies. They will come to have unstable and rough personalities, feeling nervous that the promises that are made will not be kept. Also, they will break promises with others. They will consider promises not important. And they don't trust anybody. If they can trust, if those people are, other people are trustworthy, they have to trust them, but they don't trust their parents, and who can they trust? Also, the parents, they tell so many lies to their children, and they will be told lie to by their children. Later, the children will cheat their parents by telling lies, by telling them very sneaky lies. They will be such good liars, much better than their parents. They will learn to speak good lies so that they can cheat their parents in very cunning ways. So that parents are also cheated. Who taught these lies? It's the parents. If the parents, if they tell lies to their children, they should have the pangs of conscience. They will be self-alert. They'll be on alert about the telling lies to their children. But they just simply tell lies. Oh, they consider it trivial. They don't think it's something. On the contrary, if the parents keep their promises, their children will learn integrity and trust, and they can develop patience and self-control. Integrity and trust, it is a must in social life. If you need it, especially in among family members, and also between in your church life, between your shepherd and you, between God and you. If you are not honest before God, God cannot trust you. And if God can't trust you, He can't answer your prayers, because it's a prayer of falsehood. It's not trustworthy prayer. Oh, when you are in a hurry, you pray like, oh, if you answer this, solve this problem, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll work for you. And God can't trust you. What if God answers your prayers? Will you do that? You just pretend to be fulfilling your promises for some time, and you just change your attitude soon. Even the pastors and workers in the church, it is very important to have trust. I'm looking for the trustworthy pastors and workers. If there is any pastor I can trust, I can really, a worker I can trust, I want to give them everything to buy their heart. Only if I can really trust them. Because I'm looking for ahead for the future, even until the point of the Lord's return, after we build the grand sanctuary, I'm looking for such workers. I'm carefully looking at even middle schoolers, high schoolers, any layman members to find trustworthy persons whom I can really trust. When I find somebody, I'd want to support them with my best of my ability. But sometimes there are a few. So even if they're middle schoolers or high schoolers, I think if they grow up, they can become really good children of God, and they can be really used for God's kingdom greatly. And if they have the characters of the pastors, then they can really become good pastors, great pastors. So if I find such people, I support them to the fullest. And it's not really, it can't really be done in a couple of years. Some parents, they bring their children to me to introduce them to me. In most cases, I don't remember their faces or names easily. But there are some children of some parents. They always bring them to me and introduce their children to me. And after a year or two, if they keep on doing that, I can remember them. I just watch them, keep watching them, how they grow up. And I also consider the faith of the parents, because the children are taught by their parents. So these children, they grow up. There was one middle schooler, so I asked her what her dreams are. And she wanted to praise God with singing, but she wanted to serve God's kingdom, being near to the senior pastor. And I thought she wanted to be with the senior pastor more. But she said praising God first, and then secondly, serving the church near the senior pastor. I've been watching her since her childhood, and she has good heart, and also her parents have good faith, and she's taught well by her parents. She doesn't love the world. So when I see these students in middle school or high school or college, even grown-ups, I'm searching. I'm looking for these people. If they, it's actually hard to imagine such people have financial difficulty or hardships. Same with the pastors or grown-up adults. If I can trust them, I want to give everything to them, to buy their hearts, and to offer them for God's kingdom, to let them do the work of God. I can even give them everything. But I'm looking for these people, but it's not easy. It's very rare. But sometimes when I find such people, I become thrilled. When I see talented people who can be, and good-hearted people who can be used for God's kingdom, I'm so happy. And in such cases, if they go into spirit, everything I have is theirs, because they are in spirit now. And it'll be so good for you too if you can be like that. So even students, they tell me, "Oh, I want to be your friend quickly, because being a friend of mine means going into spirit." Some parents speak to their children with frustrated faces just because they are tired or busy. When they are in a good mood, they are nice to the children. But when they are not in a good mood, they easily get angry and even throw a temper tantrum in front of the children. So the parents might regret later, but for the moment, with those words, the children are so heartbroken. There was a sister in college. She wanted my counseling. She had a fight with her parents, and she wanted to move out, and she wanted to live alone. The reason is, she says, her mother is not like her mother. The mother is hurting her feelings so much. Some people say between husband and wife, if they have a fight, it is like trying to cut water with a knife. Even if you cut the water, they will be, they'll come again. But sometimes they say words, they will hurt the feelings of others so much. So this daughter, this sister wouldn't say what kinds of words her mother said, but she was so hurt by her mother's words. So that's why you shouldn't say those words, hurting words. Even if the mother's parents say those things, you know, you don't live with your parents just for a couple of years. You live with them your whole life, so you should be able to digest them. If there is any misunderstanding, you should resolve that misunderstanding, and you shouldn't have any hard feelings with your parents. That's what I told his sister. But after that, she was doing fine, and the parents also they attend church well, and now they have a peace in the family. So if the children are raised by that kind of parents, they will feel that they are not loved and they will not have self-esteem. They will also get angry following their parents. If your parents leave the children on the churchyard while you pray in the sanctuary, it will also cause deficiencies of the body of your children. Since they are young, the parents have to show them the good example of praying and attending worship service. They have to teach them to respect the sanctuary of God. If you just leave the children in the churchyard, they will run here and there and even fight with each other. So, although they spend a lot of time around the church, they don't learn to cherish the sanctuary or the importance of worship service and prayers. They don't know how to lead a proper life in faith even after they grow up. In the Daniel prayer meetings, there are some children who attend Daniel prayer meetings with their parents. Such a beautiful child, Yusun, her name is Yusun. The parents, they attend Daniel prayer, and the child, she sits. She's such a young child. She just sits next to her parents, and she puts her hands together, praying and attending Daniel prayer meeting. How pretty is that? She doesn't pout or, oh, why? She wouldn't disturb her parents praying. She wouldn't disturb her parents praising God. She just sits there quietly, and she attends a prayer with her parents, even though she doesn't really pray. She can't really pray. Her parents raise her in the Lord since a very young child. She is raised in, by faith, and she learns, she receives wisdom, even though she is not actually praying, because she is too young to pray. God considers that she is actually praying, and God gives her wisdom and health, and He will protect her in from anything, from everything. So if you just leave the children in the churchyard, they will run here and there and even fight. So they don't cherish the sanctuary. So they don't fear God. They don't have reverent fear of God. If they are raised in the church, they should learn to cherish the sanctuary, and they have to learn to pray to God and praise God. But rather, they just come to love the world, worldly things. And they don't know the importance of life and faith. or worship service and prayers. In a serious case, they even commit sins in the church. Even though the Sunday school teachers teach them the truth, if the parents do not pay attention to them or raise them with truth, it is of no use. They will just have desire to love the world. If they are raised properly in the truth, they cannot love the world. The world will not come into them. They don't even think about it. A saying goes, the children are the mirror of the parents. If you can't understand why your children are like they are, in most cases, you are the cause. If you pray about how to change yourself so that you can raise your children in truth, you will have the answer. Now, listening to this message, I hope the students will not think like, oh, this message is really my case. I had to have deficiencies because of my parents and my circumstances. I hope the students will not think like that, and the students in college. It doesn't mean you will definitely have deficiencies of the body if you have unfavorable circumstances. The result can be very different according to your heart and your effort. Even in the same circumstances, according to how you grow up, what kind of heart and attitude do you have? My three daughters, I can tell you about them because even though they were raised in unfavorable situations, they never missed any worship services, they never ceased to pray, and they diligently preached the gospel to others since they were babies, since they were little children. They learned the word of God, and because they were growing up like that, God took care of them. Even in tests and trials, it was only when allowed by God. And through those trials, God sanctified them. And only by God's permission, those trials came upon them. God was raising them himself. When there were such trials, God would tell me, you left them to me, into my hands, that I would raise them. So I am testing them at my will. And the result of this test will be blessings. That's how God explained to me, to make them greater pastors, more capable. So don't worry about them. So when there were tests and when I prayed about them, that's what God explained to me, that he would take care of them. Also, being raised in a good environment doesn't ensure that children will have no deficiencies. There are also many people who grew up in undesirable circumstances but became great people. It's because they fill up their shortcomings with positive thinking, good-heartedness, and unceasing effort, even in unfavorable situations. For example, suppose your father easily loses his temper after getting drunk. Then if you think like, I hate having been born in this family, it's so hard, I don't want to live here. Is this the right way of thinking? If you think like that, and if you are raised, if you grow up like that, it causes more unhappiness for you. You cannot grow up properly. Or, wouldn't it be right if you think like, my father doesn't actually want to do that. He is going through such a hard time. I will treat him more nicely. Try to understand your father. And even in that circumstances, you try to serve your parents. And such, that kind of heart is such a good heart. And if you pray with such a good heart, God will listen to your prayers, and God will change your parents, I believe. You have the love of God and the word of the truth that shows you the right way. You can just hold on to the word of God and choose the good way in any situation. Then you will not form a deficiency of the body, but rather you can enlarge your heart through those undesirable circumstances. And God is seeing that kind of thing in tests and trials. God is making you a bigger vessel, a greater warrior of faith. That is why God allows you tests and trials. But if the children cannot overcome, God doesn't allow that to happen. If they fall and stumble because of weak faith, God doesn't allow them any tests. If the test is allowed by God, not caused by their own sins, but by allowed by God, God gives them only the test that they can overcome, and the result will definitely be a blessing. And through that process, they will become a greater, bigger vessel. It's the same with the athletes at the national level who compete in the Olympic Games. They go through such a hard training. They are paid by the country. And will the parents oppose to that? Oh, because the training is so hard? Of course, the parents will allow them. And of course, they would want to do that. You know, they die to do that. So they want to go through such a hard training and they can become really the top class players who can win the gold medal in Olympic Games. So they, in the same way, they are the honor for the country too. It's just that if you have not experienced something normally due to that kind of environment, you can realize that part and fill it with the truth. Then you can just give thanks to the Father God for giving you grace and strength for you to realize and change yourself. There are some things that the parents have to realize. There are many things, but for example, some parents, they seem to be good-hearted, but the children, they go astray. But if the parents are good, if the children go astray, they don't go outside too much, go astray too much. In those cases, the parents have to look back on themselves. How they behaved when these children were growing up, then you can have the answers for yourself. When they're growing up, if the fathers, they drink and vomit at home and they have a quarrel between husband and wife, and or outside they causes public nuisance after drinking to your neighbors too, then if the children saw these things, they can't have peace. You know, if they don't have peace in the family, if the children are raised in such a family, even if the children are good-hearted, they can't really they have the deficiencies of the body. And they don't have really good social skills. And it's hard for them to be recognized because they see and hear these things that are not of the truth. So they can't really make themselves proper. They don't make their vessels proper. And there are many cases like that. And the young parents, they should really, I think they already know how they should teach their children in the truth. And even those in the 40s and 50s, they can have the answers in the truth as to how they should raise their children. Suppose you have daughters and they have some kind of wounds. If you are a spiritual parents, you wouldn't only care about your own daughter, but you'd care for all the daughters. And that is a true spiritual love. If you consider, cherish only your own daughter, it's not really spiritual. If you can, you should be able to cherish and care for all other daughters too. Right after the opening of the church, four people fell. Four people actually died of carbon monoxide gas poisoning. There were four people right after the opening of the church. The people brought them. And what would I feel about it? And three of them were my daughters. One of them was a church member, young man. And my three daughters, they were giving out the bubbles from their mouth, and their eyeballs, they're already white. And the young man, they were already stiffened. Their bodies were already stiff. And so at first I prayed on the altar to God, and then after I came down, I prayed for the young man first. And then I began to pray for the third, second and first daughter. And God was so pleased with this act. And the four people just stood up. I prayed for the young man first, and he stood up first. And the third daughter, second daughter, and then the first daughter. You know, they were perfectly normal, and the church members, they were full of tears. Everybody thought they were dead. There was no way for them to live. The young man, his body was already stiff. And because he already seemed to be dead, I should have prayed for the live ones first, but I, anyway, prayed for the young man first. Actually, his spirit left, but for the three daughters, their spirits didn't leave, but they were about to. Just they were at the threshold of death. But when I prayed to them, they it didn't even take a minute. Right after the prayer, they stood up. And so all four of them were revived. And we gave God great glory. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith. We are learning about the deficiencies of the body. Let us understand what kind of deficiencies we have, and in educating our children, let us think about whether or not we are causing them to have developed deficiencies of the body in their growth, so that we can become good parents. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities, and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them from head to toe, all entrails, cells, and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Father, bless them. Touch them. Show your works transcending space and time. Bless all the churches, local sanctuaries, and branch churches members who are attending the service through satellite, and all the children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and all GCN audiences, viewing audiences, and all members of and missionaries and pastors of more than 9,000 branch churches worldwide, and burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Reverend Myungho Jung of Kenya will have a Nairobi pastor's seminar for unison and holiness on October 18th. And on 20th, they will have a special seminar for teachers. Bless them. Pastor Kyung Hee Kim in Taiwan will participate in the International Christian Book Fair in Taiwan from October 20th, 25th. Be with them, and let the St. Pastor's books and ministry of Manmin be made known to many people. Pastor Kang Sub-jang We'll have Yamagata Mami Church Handkerchief Crusade on October 26th, and Pastor Byung-nan Choi will have a Handkerchief Crusade in Tokyo Mami Church on October 30th, and Inami wants to pass the Japanese ability test, fluency test on October 23rd. Bless them. Kamala Sida of United States, her daughter Veda has a schizophrenia, son Ufal has a depression, her son Rohan has alcoholism. Be heal them by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Missionary An, you'll have a special class for performers from October 17th. Be with them, bless them. Hong Sui, there'll be a workers' seminar conference from 18th to 20th of October. Bless them. Yao Su Roy, let the church construction go well. Park Chil-sung, gastritis, eczema, and ringing in the ear, loss of memory, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wang Wei, high blood pressure. Wang, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wang Dan Dan, skin disease and tooth decay, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Tung Xia, tumor in the eyes, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Chen Dao, heart disease, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Li Enju, as a problem in the uterus, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Su Feng Qing, heart disease, loss of sight, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Sun Chaiwei, hyperactivity, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed, be normal. Yan Jie, schizophrenia, enemy devil and Satan, go away, darkness go away, light come. Wen Jiang Fun, skin disease, be healed. Wang Jiu Jiu, let the teeth be placed properly. Li Su Qin, let her son who went out 6 years ago, let him come back. Move his heart and let him come back to the family. Father, thank you. Touch them and let the eyes see well, and all the internal organs be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Light come. Father, skin diseases go away. Father, heal all the high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, all diseases, all kinds of diseases go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cancer's third stage, last stage, all lung diseases, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Father, touch them and heal them. All the germs, viruses, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be burnt, be cleansed, light come, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Even the roots of the diseases, all cancers, germs, viruses, go away, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, bless them and touch them and heal them. Give them spiritual and physical health. High and low blood pressure, diabetes, be cleansed, depression, go away. Father, thank you. Protect them throughout this week, give them peace, and also the week after that and the week after that, be give them peace and protect them. Father, thank you. Protect all the church vehicles, church members' vehicles, and let them make no mistakes while driving. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.